This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبد الله ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم وبعد. Always and forever we begin with the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We send our prayers of peace upon the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we testify with firmness and conviction that there is none that is worthy of worship but Allah. And that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His worshipping slave and final messenger. Ahibati fillah, those whom we love for our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is always a pleasure and an honor to join with my sisters here in the city of Kuala Lumpur in Malaysia, in speaking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the sunnah of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there is no greater honor for me, and inshallah no greater honor for you, than to be from those who gather for no other reason than the word of Allah azza wa jalla, and in emulation and modality and love of the tradition and the path of the Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That is the greatest honor and aspiration that we have in our life. Today's topic is an interesting topic. Because if read the wrong way, it implies that we do not have happiness and we're looking for it. This is not the case. My wife, as I was leaving, she said, "When you come home, you gotta give me this lecture again." I said, "Why? Are you not happy?" She said, no, I'm happy. I'm sure all the women over there are happy too. I said, oh, and actually, I began to write the notes. So I actually SMS'd it to her, and I posted it on my Facebook and Twitter page. So you can actually just click on the image now, so you don't have to write every single point. All 20 points are there. We're going to talk about 20 life lessons. And these life lessons are things that I just wrote them quickly, they are things that are grounded in the sunnah and the tradition of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we're going to go through all of them inshallah in the next hour or so that we spend tonight. We're going to break for Salatul Isha. I ask you inshallah not to pray your sunnah after Isha. Assalamu alaikum, your dhikr, and come down. Sunnah, you can pray it at home, inshallah. Your witr, you can pray it at home, especially for the Isha prayer. No prayer is coming after it until Fajr. And that way we get the barakah of the Jama'ah prayer and continue our mustahabba lessons of knowledge about Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Point number one, how to find happiness, how to keep happiness. How to appreciate happiness. Now those are three separate things. Find it, keep it, and appreciate it. Find it, keep it, and appreciate it. Many of us, we can find happiness, and then we do the wrong things that ruin it. Or, we find it, we keep it, and then we neglect it. We don't appreciate having it. We assume it'll always be there. And when it's gone, we find sorrow. And we regret that we did not appreciate what we had previously. The first step and the first point is trusting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and fate, qadr. Of all of the questions that I get sent and of all of the comments that I receive and of all of the questions that I get asked, one of the greatest themes that comes across in particular from Muslim sisters is, why me? How come I cannot have, or how come I had but lost? And it could relate to a husband, it could relate to children not being able to produce them, many, many things. finding happiness now that I'm married. I thought I would be happy. I'm not happy. All these kind of comments come. Why? First important point is our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in integral, systematic, complete submission to our faith in Allah. When I talk about faith and qadr, I must emphasize to you that belief in qadr is from the six pillars of iman. Just as you believe in Allah and the angels and the books and the messengers and the day of judgment, you must also believe in al-qadr, khayrihi wa sharrihi. It's good that comes to you and what you perceive as bad, the hardship that it entails. Qadr will react to you in three ways. There are three things that happen in your life. Things that happen in you. As you're sitting now, some of your cells biologically are mutating, altering. Some of them become cancerous. Every single one of us. Some of us are able to get rid of these cancerous cells. Others, due to variety of reasons, are not. And in 1 year or two or three, systematically, for many of us, out of the numbers of people here, due to our qadr, there will be some of us sitting here today, who will be tested with an illness. Undoubted. It will happen. And you have no control over it. In fact, some of the children, all of our children, are born with propensities to particular illnesses and genetic illnesses that is put in their bloodline. Cannot change it. They are born, you and I were born, with certain susceptibilities. Qadr. Two, there are things that happen to you, not in you, but to you. As you're sitting here, something might fall on you, you might trip. You didn't do anything wrong. You're sitting in a red light, a car hits you from the back. It's qadr. You have no ability to stop it, prevent it, or change it. You did not do anything negligent or wrong to bring it on. It happened. And third is how you react to the first two. This is what you are accountable for. When we talk about free will, none of us are free. In that sense, in the sense of the first two, no one has freedom to choose when they are born, who their parents will be, how they will be raised, what kind of income level they will be raised in. None of these big decisions in life, big matters in life, are in our control. They happen to us. And in our life, there will be things that will befall us. But how you react to those two is now your responsibility. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says you believe in al-qadr, it means that if you are sitting there and nothing wrong in your life befalls you, submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and react in the way He asked. You got married to someone you loved. You thought everything was wonderful. A year goes by, 2 years goes by, he falls ill. You find yourself widowed. You find your children without a father. Qadr. You cannot change it. You submit to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now becomes the moment where your trust in Allah begins. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We are all belonging to Allah, to Him we return. قدر الله وما شاء فعل. Allah estimated this is something I should bear. And what He did was by His will, subhanahu wa ta'ala. No one can change it. You submit to the will of Allah. People can be of two types. Why me? How come me? How come this disaster befalls me? Or, Ya Allah, assist me in the journey that remains in my life. Ya Allah, protect the children. Ya Allah, protect my name. Ya Allah, give me better than what I had. Trust and belief in Allah is a foundation of happiness. Is that the adhan? We will pause for the adhan insha'Allah, for the adhan of Isha. I'm not sure if we will hear it, but if we hear it, we will stop insha'Allah. The second statement, or the second principle of finding, keeping, and appreciating happiness is master the fundamentals. Be a master of the fundamentals of your life. What are the fundamentals of your life? What's the first fundamental? The thing that everything else is built on. Salah. You have to be a master of it. See, what happens to people is that we assume salah is important. Yes, it's important. But yani, how important is it? Sometimes, I missed a prayer. Yani, it's okay, I'll make it up. Yes. Is it heard?
Yes.
Okay. We'll pause for it inshaAllah. I'm actually not able to make out what he's saying. That's why I didn't stop. Which is fiqh. Okay? So after the adhan, we'll continue for another 5 minutes inshaAllah. Then I will beg your pardon. I will join the jama'ah. Those of you who are able to join us, please join us. Don't pray your sunnah inshaAllah. If Allah asks you, you say, Shaykh Yahya said. But come down for the talk and we will continue inshaAllah. We continue inshaAllah. Number two, point number two is master the fundamentals of life. There are certain fundamentals that become necessary for us to master. Things like salah, things like ibadah, things like recitation of the Qur'an, and things like dhikr and tasbih, the dhikr of the morning, the dhikr of the evening. Say, Brother Yahya, these are things that are going to make me happy. The heart, your qalb, your heart will never, wallahi, by Allah, who there is no God or deity worthy of worship but He, by Allah who created the sun and the moon and the stars and you and I, you will never find peace and tranquility except in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if you look for it and find something that you think is peace and tranquility, it will never last. It will never last. Yes, you might enjoy yourself watching a movie, alhamdulillah, and then it comes to an end. And the time spent is over. But the reverberation of that dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lasts, remains. It has a taste in the mouth. The Prophet ﷺ says, and the hadith narrated by Bukhari and Muslim, ذَاقَ حَلَاوَةَ الْإِيمَانِ. The person tastes the sweetness of faith. What is the taste of it? What are some of the things? One of them is that a person would rather be killed and thrown in fire than to become a non-Muslim. That person, that's the iman that results from that surety of faith. Dhikr, the heart. أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. The heart cannot become still and quiet and tranquil and last in that, except in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when I use the word remembrance of Allah, I mean anything that reminds you of the day you will stand in front of Allah. It could be science. It could be the Qur'an, something you read in the Qur'an. It could be a talk or a lecture. It could be a sisterly talk with your friend. It could be the pain that you receive after making a mistake. It reminds you of Allah. Why did I do that? I will never do that again. And all of a sudden you say, I did that, I move away from it now. All of a sudden you find that peace. You recognize the error and you've moved away from it towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dhikr. So those are fundamentals that need to be mastered. The head of them is the salah. When the muadhin says, Hayya ala salah, the answer is, I will come alive in prayer. What does the muadhin say? What was he saying? Hayya, haya, life. Hayya ala salah. Come to life. How? How does your soul come alive? What's the difference between the soul that prays and the soul that does not? It's the difference of life and death. These are the words of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The one who gives remembrance to Allah means pray. مَثَلَ الَّذِي يَذْكُرُ رَبَّهُ means make salah to Allah. Compared to the one who doesn't is like the living to the dead. You have to be a master of this. Your heart must wake up before your eyes wake up. You know that you have become mudawim ala salah, consistent in prayer. When fajr comes, before your phone rings, before your eyes open, your heart is awake. It's time for prayer. You anticipate your phone buzzing, your clock going. You anticipate the time for the salah. And therefore your heart is alive even though your body is asleep. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala al-falah. Come alive to prayer, come alive to the remembrance of Allah. We will break here, we will continue with port number 3 to 20 after Salatul Isha, inshaAllah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, ashadu an la ilaha illa an, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, and I will see you shortly, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Assalamualaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim wa man wala. Muhammad ibn Abdullah alayhi abdallus salah wa atamu taslim. Alhamdulillah, I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts our salah and accepts our time together as sure ibadah of Him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes our gathering a gathering of rahmah and a gathering of mercy. Barakallahu li wa lakum fi. We're going to continue inshaAllah with our discussions. And I know that some of our sisters are just joining us after Salatul Isha. One of the sunnahs that we learn from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not to sit in the seat of someone else. So keep that in mind, inshaAllah. We don't want to have any trouble. We continue with the third point, which we said we wanted to master the fundamentals. And I began by speaking about ibadah. But mastering the fundamentals is also a necessity in anything you do in your life. Whether you're studying math, whether it's cooking, whether it's whatever you're doing, whether it's driving, you have to first begin with what is fundamental. One of the top basketball players in the past in the world was Michael Jordan. I'm hoping you heard of him. All right. Now, Michael Jordan, he said this one amazing thing. He said, if you shoot and practice 10 hours a day shooting, but you didn't learn how to do it correctly, you've just taught yourself the wrong thing. So now you have to practice how to unlearn it and then practice how to relearn it. So the fundamentals, the basic blocks are the things that you must stress. And therefore you see salah is repetitive. Siyam is repetitive. Zakah is repetitive. Its intent, it's also collective. It's not done individually, it's done together. Because the fundamentals of your life, you need support in them. And you need people to hold your hand through them. So focus on the fundamentals of anything in your life. Whether it's how to tie a scarf. You know, my wife, she's experimenting with new ways to tie the scarf. I know sisters are very inventive. YouTube is full of videos how to tie a scarf. Right? There's the Arabi way, the Egyptian way, the Jordanian way, the Malay way. Lots of ways. right? But the fundamental is what? That your hair is covered. Your ears are covered. Part of your chin is covered. Your neck is covered. Anyway, now you want to get fancy, get fancy. But the fundamental is what you must master. Point number three is learn from your parents' life. Point number three in finding happiness yourself, learn from your parents. I don't mean the good things only. Your parents were there as an example for you in good and not good. We don't want to say bad. There's some parents in the audience. In good and not so good. Don't look to your mom now. Leave your mom alone. There's things, alhamdulillah, you're going to learn. Good. But there's also other things that you need to learn not to do. And not to accept for yourself. There are certain things that you see that you must say, this is something I want to avoid. I want to maybe raise my children differently. I want to deal with my husband differently. I want to be employed differently. I want to dress differently. I want to do this differently. I want to make peace with family members who I haven't spoken to peacefully. Some questions that I receive, it says, my mother and her sister are fighting. Can I still talk to my aunt? Because she's my mother. I have to listen to my mother. But I love my aunt. Because they're fighting, do I have to fight with them? Right? No. You have to learn from your parents' mistakes. Ibrahim alayhi salam, he says to his father, Ya Abati, my father. The word Abati in Al-Arabi, it's not just my father. It's my father who I love. My father who I respect. My father who I'm not rebelling against, who I'm not arguing with. Ya Abati, you are the one who brought me to this life. I acknowledge you're the one whose favor is on me. You are the one who was up when I was sick, who fed me instead of himself. You're the one who carried me, taught me to walk, taught me to talk, taught me everything. I know, Ya Abati. But, قَدْ جَاءَنِي مِنَ الْعِلْمِ, I've learned something you don't know. You are able to learn what your parents don't know. You are able to study what your parents might not have studied. You have been given opportunities your parents might not have been given. It is not your life to live their life. It is your life to live the life Allah wishes for you. Not in rebellion, but in choosing the good and keeping it. And in learning from the things that were not perfect to avoid them. So you have to learn from your parents' life. Now I want you to understand the wonderfulness of your father and mother, even if they are unbelievers. You say, I don't understand, brother. I want you to understand the makana, the place, the station that your father and your mother, even if they are not just unbelievers, but unbelievers who are making jihad against you to become an unbeliever. How should you treat them? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ, and if they were to fight and exert all energy, if they were to make every form of jihad with their money, with their authority, with their power, with their influence, with their body, if they were to do everything, عَلَىٰ أَن تُشْرِكَ لِي, to force you and compel you to disbelieve in me, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, don't obey them, don't disbelieve in Allah. And then Allah says, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, be their sahabi in the dunya. Do you know what that means? Your father, your mother could be a mushrik fighting against you. You have to be Abu Bakr to them. You have to be like Umar and Uthman and Ali, a sahabi to them. So how is it if they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How is it if they pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? صَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفٌ. This third statement is not rebellion against those who taught us and raised us. La. It's insightfulness. And it is the way of our Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number four, practice Islam every day. You say, but I'm a Muslim, brother. I'm a Muslim. I'm practicing Islam. No, there's a difference. Islam, my dear sister, it is to give yourself willfully, intentionally, voluntarily to the will of Allah, hoping to attain peace and comfort in your heart and with those you live amongst. And it takes practice. You have to work at it. Submitting yourself to Allah, saying, Ya Allah, I will obey. Ya Allah, I will leave this. Ya Allah, I will do this. Ya Allah, I will be honored by this. Ya Allah, I will step back from this. Ya Allah, I will make this decision. It takes practice and determination to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore you must practice it. You must will yourself to submit to the Creator, the Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So practicing Islam takes root in your heart. Islam begins in the heart. It is that your heart becomes settled at happiness of knowing that the directions I choose in life, I'm not choosing them haphazardly or out of desire and emotion. I'm not living the dunya because I'm going to live once. There's no YOLO. Right? No YOLO. You don't only live once. You're directed in your life. You're living life, but there is someone in command. Someone who says, turn, stop, return, repent, move back, move forward, be with them, stay away from them, honor them, leave them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the way of His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number five, ilm is important. The key now becomes, you want me to practice Islam, Brother Yahya? You want me to focus on fundamentals, Brother Yahya? You want me? This is how I'm going to be happy in the long run. This is what's going to keep me happy. This is what's going to keep me appreciating the happiness I have. How do I know what to do? Ilm. Knowledge. You cannot be a Muslim who is successful without ilm. See, there's a difference, my dear sisters, in Islam between a Muslim and a good Muslim. Right? There's a Muslim. Alhamdulillah, lots of Muslims. But then there's a good Muslim. And between a Muslim and a good Muslim is like heaven and earth. And there's a difference between being a good Muslim and a great Muslim. It's also heaven and earth. Big difference. There's a big difference between someone who can stand up at night and pray to Allah, even if it's two rak'ah, and someone who snores until Fajr. There's a difference between someone who waits for Fajr and someone who doesn't wait for Fajr and says Astaghfirullah and prays when the sun is up. Huge difference. There's Muslim. Then there's good Muslim. Then there's great Muslim. And there's Islam and Iman and Ihsan. The one who reaches that is the one who knows what to do. And that knowledge translates into taqwa, piety in their heart. And therefore Allah says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ. Those who fear Allah due to reason. The word khashya, it's not إِنَّمَا يَخَافُ اللَّهَ. Not those who are afraid of Allah. No. يَخْشَ. يَخْشَ means that they know why they should be afraid. That's important. It's not, I was saying earlier, some people are scared of the dark. There's no reason to be scared of the dark. But I'm afraid. There's no reason to be afraid. It's illogical to be afraid of the dark. But it's fear. Khashya is that you know why to be afraid. There is something to be afraid of. And you understand it and then you are fearful. It's not illogical, it's logical. That is khashya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Innama yakhsha, they understand why. They understand what happens to the one who misses Fajr. They know what is the reward of the one who stands at night to Allah. They know what is the benefit of al-dhikr and al-tasbih and al-istighfar. Yaghsha. They fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they know why they should fear Him. Min ibadihi al-ulama. From those servants of His who are ulama. The word ulama here, it doesn't mean mufti. Ulama here is as al-imam al-shafi'i rahmatullahi alayhi said. They said, man hum al-ulama. Who is the ulama meant in this ayah? MashaAllah. Allahu Akbar. Who are the ulama? He said, al-alim man amila bima ya'lam. The ulama in this ayah, the scholar, the learned, is the one who does by what he knows. You learn something, so you put it into practice. And therefore, al-ilm is important. It's the key. Number 6, for happiness. We're now going to get into the controversial stuff. Don't let people get into your head. Don't let people mess with you. Don't let people's words or actions or behavior influence your words, your actions, your behavior. One of the manifestations of extremism is what? That people who take Islam to extremism. You killed us. I'm going to kill you. La. You droned in Yemen. I'm going to kill you in Kenya. La. A Muslim's reaction is not based on what happened to him. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not react based on what people did. He acted based on what Allah ordered and what Allah sanctioned and what Allah permitted. In the same way, someone spoke bad of you. Don't speak bad of them. Someone made you feel uncomfortable. Don't make them feel uncomfortable. I'll get her back. Wait until she's on my side of the city. Wait till she's in Ampang. She thought she was in Bangsa. Wait till she comes my side. I'm going to show her at my masjid. Ah, different life over here. No. She cut you off, you join her. She hurt you, please her. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is our Nabi. They ask him, Ya Rasulullah, what can I do? I want to get to Jannah. He said, Sil man qata'ak. The one who cut you off, the one who you were friends with, and they broke away from you, you connect them. You go to them. But they're the ones who left. Go to them. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa'afu amman zalamak. The one who dishonored you, hurt you, oppressed you, wronged you. I should kill him. Sister says, I got revenge now. Khalas. I have reason to do what I want. No. Fa'afu. Forgive. Say, but brother, yeah, if I forgive, they got away with it. His sisters are scary people. You have to be scared. I'm scared today. Too many sisters, mashallah. The wife of that woman who looked after Yusuf alayhi salam. When the other women in the city, they heard, وَقَالَ نِسْوَةٌ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ امْرَأَةُ الْعَزِيزِ تُرَاوِدُ فَتَاهَا عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. The wife of the prince, she's chasing her little servant boy around the house. Ah, look what she's doing. قَدْ شَغَفَهَا حُبَّ. He drove her mad with love. She said, oh, okay, I'm going to teach you a lesson. Come here. She invited them to her home. She planned revenge. Plotted. كَيْدَ كُنَّ. Plot. وَآتَتْ كُلَّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُنَّ سِكِّينَ. She gives everyone a knife and some fruit. وَقَالَ تُخْرُجْ عَلَيْهِنْ. Come here, Yusuf. Show them yourself. Show them why I went crazy. I'm going to make them crazy like me. قَطَّعْنَا أَيْدِيَهُمْ. They cut their hands, sliced their hands off. مَا هَذَا بَعْدَ. He's not human, he's an angel. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا مَلَكٌ كَرِيمٌ. I have to show them that they are not higher than me. Even though she should be embarrassed of herself. Right? She's wrong. Her husband found out that now the city is talking. She goes, I don't care. As long as I'm going to show them why. Nah. The believer is different. The mu'mina is different. The mu'mina doesn't think she got away with it. No, the mu'mina says, Allah is watching. Because they have trust in Allah. They believe in fate. Allah is watching. Ya Allah, hasbi Allah wa ni'mal wakeel. Ya Allah, I was wrong. I leave it with Allah. Hasbi Allah. Allah is enough for me. Allahu Akbar. How many times did Muhammad ﷺ say hasbi Allah instead of saying to the angel of the mountains, destroy the city? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Don't let people get into your head. Don't react to people's actions. Don't sink to people's level. Don't worry about those who don't pay your rent. Alright? So don't let people influence how you act and react. Don't let a comment from someone about, for example, your children or your husband make you... You know, one of the things that... And it's abuse of our children. You go somewhere and you expect your children to behave extra special. So before you get out of the car, you hold them and say, hey, listen, these people, don't let them talk about me by what you're going to do. So your poor little four-year-old, five-year-old, he's sitting... And he can't. He cannot. He's 4 years old. And when he does, you look at him, then you raise your voice. Haram. Right? Why are you doing it? Because you're worried what others will say. Now, I'm not telling you spoil your children. But don't expect just for someone else that miracles happen and that everyone changes on account of other people's words or comments. Don't change your attire because someone critiqued it. Change it for Allah. It might be someone said, oh sister, I could see your, you know, this was too tight. No. Change it for Allah. Not what other people's comments are, you consider it hurtful. Everything is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 7. Know how to respond to failure. And all of us, my dear sisters in Islam, we're going to fail at something. And none of us will ever be happy in everything. And no one in life was ever given balance in everything. It's a mission in progress. So you might be successful outside your home and miserable in the home. And you might make it look like you're happy at home to others outside, but you are hating the environment you are in. How do you respond to failure? How do you make a position of distress becomes a position of success? It takes 3 important qualities. First, don't be blind to what is apparent. Don't pretend nothing's wrong. If something's wrong, it's wrong. Recognize the mistake. Don't be blind to the mistakes. They say love is blind. Don't be in love. That makes you blind. Be in love that can make you see. Right? That you see. There's reason. So the first, look, see, basira. Open your eyes to what is around you. Open your ears to what people tell you. Listen to what is happening. Look around you to the situation. Second, be decisive. إِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. What should be done? What is the right decision to be made? Take advice. What should I do? Understand the situation. Understand the problem. Make note of it. And be decisive. If it's divorce, it's divorce. If it's counseling, it's counseling. If it's change my kid's school, change my kid's school. If it's move from a suburb, move from a suburb. If it is be friends or not be friends with someone, make the decision. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Put your trust and meaning, take the decision for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Third, don't make it about yourself only. Don't say, sometimes, you know, my wife, she's not here, it's okay. We're making a decision. And she goes, but this is going to do this to my schooling or my... Or, and I'll say, no, this is going to do... If you make the decision and it's only unilateral, it's only going to serve one side, it's only going to serve you, then the failure is just shifting to another failure. You're not actually curing the failure. You have to make a decision that is something that is going to be equitable and just and fair to all those who are representative of it, inshallah. So know how to respond to failure. Look around you, be decisive, and don't do it for yourself. Don't be self-centered. Take note of the situation, make a decision with shura, and don't do it just for yourself, but do it for the interest of all involved. Number 8, fear is an illusion. People are afraid, you know, we were talking about people afraid of the dark, because in their mind they think something is there. My daughter, we were in the pool this morning, and she goes, and you know, she's learning to swim, alhamdulillah. She says, Baba, there's no fish? I said, there's no fish. She said, are you sure? I said, I'm sure. She goes, how do you know? I said, I looked. She goes, Baba, I feel this fish. You know when you're swimming over something, you look around you, you're like Jaws is waiting in a swimming pool. Right? It's an illusion. Fear is not something you should be afraid of. It's strange to say that. Fear, you shouldn't fear it. Musa alayhi salam, we're going to study in Tafsir Surah Taha on the weekend, inshaAllah. Allah says to him 4 times, La takhaf, don't be scared, ya Musa. Why are you scared? You know, Musa was this giant of a man. He wasn't tawil, he wasn't just tall, he was tawal. He was double tall. Like he was tall, tall. You'd say, wow, that's tall. No, that's tall, tall. Tawal. He hit a man with one strike, he killed him. And yet, he's scared. Every moment Allah says, لا تخف. إني معكما. I'm going to be with you and Harun. Don't be, why are you scared? You're speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't be scared, ya Musa. But fear is natural in you. Fear that hinders you from changing failure, from making a decision, from going out to do what's right, from helping others. Fear that restricts you from life is unacceptable. And therefore you have to push yourself through those boundaries of fear. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands us in the Qur'an to always not be fearful of the dunya or those in the dunya. أَتَخْشَوْنَهُمْ. Are you scared of them? وَاللَّهُ أَحَقُّ أَن تَخْشَوْا. Don't be afraid of anyone. Don't be afraid of anything. Only be fearful of the Almighty, the Merciful, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number 9, I hope Nike doesn't sue us. Just do it. Get out there and do it. I want to learn Qur'an. Do it. But how? Ya akhi, open the Qur'an and practice. Do it. Sheikh, make dua that, you know, I begin to pray. Qibla this way. Pray. No, make dua. Allah gonna help me pray. Ya akhi, qibla is this way. Here's sajada. Go. You know how to make wudu? Yes. Do it. Just do it. And this is one of the secrets of happiness and success. That a person feels within themselves that they can do it. And the first thing taught to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he can do it. When the wahy came, Iqra, was revealed, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very doubtful. He ran to Khadija, cover me, cover me. What's the ayah that was revealed? Ya ayyuhal mudathir, qum fa'andir. Oh, you covered up, stand up, go tell people what to do. Allahu Akbar. A command straight away, but I just received the wahi. Really, I can do it? Yes. Qum, stand up, do it. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Have that desire to bring people and bring yourself closer to Allah. Have that desire and that ability that I can do it. I can accomplish what I want. In every facet of life, never be hindered by the fear, which is illusionary. It's not fear that will hold you back. It is your own willpower that will hold you back. The fear, the thing you fear will not happen. But you thinking it will happen is what is holding you back from that success and what could bring you a great deal of happiness. Consider the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ's marriage to Khadija. In Arabic society, it was strange. Yani Khadija asked the Prophet ﷺ, I want to marry you. Allahu Akbar. This was something. She's an older woman, she already had children. She'd had two husbands before who had passed away and one killed in battle. And Muhammad ﷺ was 25, she was older. I like that. He is the right man. Why? He's honest, he's trustworthy, he's handsome, he's this. I don't care what people are going to say. Even if he said no, I don't care. I'm going to ask. Just do it. Right? Khadija radiallahu anha wa ardaha.